going to hear God's word this morning, which Leonard has chosen, and then he will bring to us what God has laid on his heart. We'll pray for him immediately before he does that. So if you've got a Bible with you, you want to turn to Acts chapter 2, and it's from verse 42 to 47. Familiar words to many of you, and if it's not familiar, we're going to read it now. They, that's the early believers, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. We thank God for his word to us. Leonard, do come join us. It's our privilege to have you sharing God's word with us today, and we'd love to pray for you beforehand, if that's all right. Let's pray, folks, shall we? Father, we thank you for this, your servant, Leonard. Thank you for his preparation. Thank you for his time spent listening to you on our behalf. Please, would you pour out your spirit upon him and anoint him with the gift of prophecy, that he might speak your living word to us, and grant us, Lord, the gift of humility and teachability, that we might be good soil for the word of the gospel. All these things we ask for the glory of Jesus, and in his name, amen.
Thank you. Greetings again in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a privilege to be in this church. When we enter with John, with Steve, I came with John last time. When I enter the premises, it says here, don't be a stranger. So I felt welcome in the church. You know, if something happened, there can't be words saying that don't be a stranger. But when you enter in, you felt, I'm a stranger. So I felt welcome in this church. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for the leadership, for trusting us that we will bring the word of God, which is life. I must tell you, folks, that at one stage I was a sinner, and God saved my life. My life was lost. I was in a desert. I can't tell what I was doing. I was drinking. I was messing around with girls. You can name it. And today I'm standing here being washed of the blood of Christ. So I'm confident that when the bell comes, when Jesus comes, I will meet my King. What a privilege. This morning I woke up at 5:30. I just want to spend a few minutes with my Savior. It went on until 6:30. What a privilege to unite with Christ and enjoy unity with Christ and enjoy fellowship with Christ. I just want to thank God for this wonderful privilege. And today, God has put in my spirit you need to speak about unity. I felt there is power in unity. And then I felt this is something hidden in most of us, the power in unity. And the enemy is busy understand that there is power in unity. And that is the reason we find that there is so much fightings in our families, so much separation in our marriages, because, I mean, the enemy is fully aware that there is power in unity. Even in the Church of Christ, you find that, I mean, there is not unity, because the enemy is fully aware that there is power in unity. Once the church comes together in unity, something great will come. Let me just give a story of which is in Acts chapter 3. At one point, Peter and John were on their way to the temple. The Bible says, on their way, then they met this lame man. Then the lame man approached them if he can get something. And then touched my heart is this. Peter said to this man, "Look at us. Look at us." And the Bible says, this man, this lame man, look at them. Look at us. Look at us. Not at me. Look at us. And the lame man look at them, expecting something. And then look what says Peter says. He said, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise." And the Bible says this, the man jumped in the temple praising God. But what the message we get from the whole passage is that wherever this man goes, he caught the message which Peter sent to this man, that look at us, meaning that it's not about me. We have something, we have power. The power that I have, my brother also have. We have something. We jointly have come to you, present ourselves to you with something. So look at us. We have something. And then I love the verse 11, which put it clearly, that the Bible says, while the men kept holding on them, Peter and John, the whole crowd ran to them in amazement. So it's not about Peter. It's about them in Christ. It's not about me. It's about us, my brother. It's about myself and Steve in Christ. It's not about Pastor Leonard. It's about us in Christ. So it's not about Peter, it's not about men. I even wrote this. It's not about men. Wherever this man goes, I'm sure he was telling people that there was men, not men. There was men that paid for me. And today, I am able to walk because there were men told me about the power in the name of Jesus Christ. If we work together, if we work together in unity, there is power. So it's not about me. It's not about Peter. It's about us in Christ. I believe, I strongly believe, as the message says today, the Bible says, the message which my brother read now, I love the Zulu translation, verse 42. It says, the church of Jerusalem committed themselves to the teachings of apostle 1, fellowship 2, breaking of bread and prayer. The Bible said all of them were committed in fellowship. All of them were committed in prayer. All of them were committed in breaking of bread. All of them were committed in fellowship, in prayer. In other words, whenever the pastor announced prayer next week, there is no one who, everyone is committed to come in the prayer service. Even those that are tired coming from work, but because the pastor, the leader of the church said we must come in a prayer service, they committed themselves to the body of Christ. In unity, there is power. The Bible says, the next verse says, God performed miracles. The apostles performed miracles and wonders. Why? Because the church was in unity. What the results that we get from the story? The Bible says, God increased the church in numbers. Which means there is power in unity. As a church, I strongly believe, if today we can jointly commit ourselves to Christ, work together, jointly in unity, there is great things coming to this church. Let us give the challenge to the leaders of the church. Let us give them the homework to expand this building. We need this building to grow. We need people from this community to come and serve Christ. It's the time to worship God. We need Christ. The kingdom of God should expand. We need people to receive what we have. We need people to receive the joy that we have. In unity, things are happening. In unity, miracles are happening. We will see wonders. We will see the hand of God. We will see the power of God because there is unity in the church. If we can work together for the kingdom of God, we will see wonders. We will see new souls coming to serve Christ. As I said, my brothers, I was a sinner. My life was lost. And because the church of Christ was praying, and today I'm standing in this church with confident that Christ has chosen my life because there were people praying for me. So you are here because there were some people praying for you. So jointly, in unity, we can see the hand of God. We can see the breakthrough in our families, in marriages, among our children. It's so sad and it's so painful to find that the parents do not communicate with their children. I have raised my son. I have raised my daughter. But there is no communication. Why? Because the enemy is fully aware that in unity there is power. So he's busy working day by day to break unity among families, among the body of Christ. You find that you meet brothers along the way. Just stand up, my brother. Just come to me. Your name again?
Neil.
Then I'll come across Neil, and then I'll say, "How are you, Neil?" And then I will greet him, and I love you, my brother. I missed you. And deep down the spirit, there's a spirit of pretending. I don't even pray for my brother, yet I'm telling him that I miss him. I don't even give him a call. I haven't seen him at the church for 3 weeks. I don't know what happened to him. But when I meet him, I miss him. Is that true? Do I pray for him? Do I call him? Do I bother myself? Do I worry myself that I haven't seen my brother for 2 weeks at the church? And when now I meet him, I said, "I miss you. I love you." So if there is no unity in the church, what will happen? There will be a spirit of pretending. There will be a spirit of division. There is power in unity. We will see breakthrough in the church of Christ if there is unity. As I said, let us give the leadership of the church a homework to sit down and discuss what will be done. How can we raise funds? The church needs to be expanded. The church is growing. There is not enough space. How many people around the area, around this town, that has not come to know the fullness of Christ? We need the body of Christ. We need the family of Christ. We need to grow. And I thank you so much for this time together. It's the message of the cross just brings excitement in my life. The more I spend time with him, is the more I need. I need him. He means so much to me. I love him so dearly because he has chosen my life. My life was in death. And he rose me up through his blood. For the last few weeks, we were doing the Passover service, remembering the work of the cross. So how much I long in my spirit for my brothers and sisters who are far away from the kingdom of Christ. So as the body of Christ, if you can jointly, unitedly pray for them, do something in a practical way, we can see the power of the cross in this church. I thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity.
Should we show our appreciation to Pastor Leonard? Thank you so much. I was just asking in the interlude when I got up here whether, because I hadn't given Leonard a topic quite deliberately. It's always good when people come from outside just to let them say what they want to say. And I was just asking whether anybody else had given Leonard a topic, which they hadn't really. He just had been praying for us and felt that this was the word that God needed us to hear. And doesn't it feel in season? Doesn't it feel in season? And so we've got a choice, and this is a choice for individuals. We can either mosey on out to coffee and forget all about it, or actually we can choose to make our own response to this. I think it starts between us and Christ, really. But perhaps some of us need to do some laying down of some things. Perhaps some of us need to have difficult conversations with one another. Perhaps some of us need to express apology, and perhaps some need to express forgiveness, regardless of whether they get an apology. But the choice is ours, individuals and then as a group. Do we revel or wallow in brokenness? Or do we actually say, we're about serving you, God? Not about serving me or my agenda or my vision, but actually we're about commitment to Christ, serving Christ here. And anything that holds that back needs to be left aside. Isn't it wonderful when God speaks to us through a wonderful, humble servant who simply waits on the Lord and gives what the Lord put on his heart? We praise God for that, don't we?
Something that Leonard said out of the scripture, which coincided with some reading I've been doing recently, and it's about the relationship between Peter and John. Peter was the most vocal, prominent of the disciples, and yet he fell in the most public and horrible way by denying Christ. And Jesus said of him, "Satan has asked me to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, and when you have turned, strengthen your brothers." And I just thought it was so beautiful how Leonard brought out from the Acts 3 the difference between John and Peter's relationship as they argued at the Last Supper, believe it or not, Luke 22. They argued at the Last Supper about who was the greatest. Peter then falls, horrible situation with Jesus. Jesus restores him. And the first miracle that Jesus does through them is by Peter and John being together and responding to Christ and saying, "Silver and gold have I none, in the name of Jesus Christ." What a fantastic, practical, loving example and illustration of Jesus uniting people together and using them in power as they acknowledge his name and put their differences aside and say, "None of self and all of thee." Amen.
It's not often that these days I play the piano, and many of you are forever grateful for that. But I was struggling, to be honest, this week to remember to pick the songs. And I said, as an offhand comment to a couple of colleagues in the office, I think we're going to be playing Songs of Fellowship Bingo on Sunday, as I just randomly pick songs. And they said, "That's right, that's what Mike Williams does every time he leads worship." But never a truer word was spoken. But, and so out of that randomness, really, we picked the last hymn, which we're going to sing in a minute, which actually picks up much of what's coming. And as I said again, there was no knowledge of that beforehand. So I just want to highlight that. And I think we'll just have a couple of minutes where we just be quiet. And the reason for that is, one, it gives us space to perhaps do business with the Lord ourselves. And it also gives me a couple of minutes to think about what on earth we're going to do next. So we'll just bow our heads. And it'll probably be helpful to close our eyes. There's no great rules. Don't worry about the church for this. Just worry about where you are with Christ. And you may want just to think that through, conscious of his presence. And Lord, would you pour out the spirit of the advocate and counselor upon each and every one of us? And would you implant joy in each one here at the idea of serving you? And would you call to mind, if not now, then in the next couple of days, anything that is blocking our capacity to serve you or to be filled to the brim with your powerful spirit? And give us grace and courage, Lord, to turn away from those things and to look to you. Give us grace and courage to have difficult conversations. Give us grace and courage to exercise forgiveness. Give us grace and courage to dissolve bitterness. Give us grace and courage, energy and willpower to love those, especially those who we find the most difficult to love. None of this is possible in our strength, Lord. So as best as we know how, here we are, heads bowed, hearts humbled, saying, please, Lord, will you help us? We make this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand, please? If you're able to do so. Don't worry if you're not. What we're going to do is we're going to share the peace together. And traditionally in the church, that's been a sign of just kind of clearing the table before we gather around the table of the Lord, figuratively speaking. I recognise that in the 10-second awkward smile with somebody across the aisle, that won't necessarily make right things perhaps you feel that need to be made right. But this is the moment of decision and saying from now on, we will work towards it being right. Does that make some sense? So it might be that somebody's far away or not even in the room or whatever, but in your mind, this is the point of decision where you say, Lord, I submit my will to yours. I choose to love. I choose to forgive. Now, nobody is going to be looking around the room, looking at who's shaking hands with who. All right, I'm shaking hands with Doug. There must be a problem. But no, it's not. That isn't the case. And there isn't, to my knowledge. Especially the way he made nice eyebrows at me at the first hymn. So, but this is about a small piece of liturgy that expresses our desire for it to be the truth, that we are living in the unity of the Spirit and keeping the bond of peace. Does that make sense? So I'm going to say to you, the peace of the Lord be always with you. And some of you might want to say back, and also with you. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Do take time just to greet those that are nearby with a handshake or a hug or a high five. If you're able to do so, you may like to remain standing for our final song this morning. And if you want, you need to continue anything of this nature, you can continue, of course, over coffee and in the days to come.